Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to Everyday Truth. And we are in the book of James, and honestly, John Edmonds, again, president of Veritas Baptist College, joining me. John, we are at the section of the book of James that is my favorite section. James is my favorite book, but this section in James is my favorite section.
I can see why. James 4, the next few verses we're going to look at are powerful reminders about how we ought to live our life and what ought to be our focus in life.
It's the only time in the Bible where the question is asked. And the question is, what is your life?
Yes.
And every now and then, we've got to kind of draw the line and say, okay, what is my life all about? There are certain seasons in life where you just stop and say, why am I here? What really matters? Where am I going? What is life? What is it all about? And that's what James 4 is. It's that defibrillator that kind of shocks us back into, okay, get your heart back in rhythm. Here's where you need to be.
It reminds me of a verse I often quote to myself in Psalm 90, verse 12, where, you know, Moses says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. It's a great reminder for me. And James 4 does the same thing for me.
Yeah, number our days. And in that chapter, you know, Moses said, hey, 70, most people live 70. And, you know, if you get a blessing, you might live 80. But, boy, you only live a finite number of moments. So you better value each and every moment, every subset of your life, every moment of your life, value it because they're passing away quickly.
Yeah, life is fleeting. And as we go through these verses here, I know that they will be powerful reminders about how we all stay focused in life and not just squander our life on things that are frivolous.
So James is writing the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. Some of them, no doubt, were people that knew James, not all, but some perhaps were part of the Acts 8:1 scattering that had previously been in Jerusalem for a time. Others were part of the larger diaspora and were part of the Jewish populations around the world. But as James writes the letter, which was intended to be encyclical, it would go from community to community among Jewish believers, and they would read this letter. He said, go to now. So that's verse 13, friends, chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say. So people that are making these kinds of decisions and plans, I want you to stop for a moment. I want you to think about something. I want you to listen to me. So go to now is just an old English way of saying, hey, stop for a moment and listen to this. It's an interrupter. Did you use those with your kids growing up, John?
No, not quite the same thing. But not these words here, but you're right. Similar words where I say, listen to me.
Yeah.
I use that a lot of times.
Hey, that yes. was my thing. Hey. And they knew, you know, the dad voice, right?
Right, exactly, yes.
So go to now, James says with his dad voice, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So they're making plans in verse 13. Is there anything wrong with the plans they were making?
Not on the face surface level. There's no problem making plans for the future. Obviously, right. We're going to get into what the problem was in a moment here.
Right. But sometimes sin does not appear to be sin. It just seems innocuous. Give these guys a break. They're business people, obviously. Because they want to go to a place where there's another business opportunity. They want to buy and sell and get gain as good old capitalism. They're right. doing well. They're making plans that involve, I've preached a message on this passage where I talk about they make plans that involve the whens of their life, today or tomorrow, that involve the where of their life. We're going to go to that city. that involve the why of their life, W-H-Y, because they're going to buy and sell and get gain. So they feel like they've got their whole life put together. They're organized, financially secure, upwardly mobile people. What could be wrong with that?
Yeah, they have their agendas all ready to go. They have everything thought out and thought through, and they know what's going to happen in their life, at least they think.
Success in life, apparent success, can be the greatest deceiver. Boy, my business is doing so well. I know what I'll do. I'll just build some bigger barns. And what did Jesus say about that rich fool? He said, "You're a fool. Don't you know that tonight your soul will be required of thee? Then whose shall these be?" So not bringing into the equation a bigger perspective. It's not that we don't plan. It's not that we don't go to cities or that we don't make money and supply for our family or invest or vacation or any of those things. It's that we do those things in light of bigger questions. So what's the bigger question? That's where we're at. Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You're making all of these definitive plans and you don't even have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. Are there other scriptures that come to your mind, John, or other thoughts when I read that?
Well, without doubt, what you quoted from when Jesus talked about that, about the rich fool who said, "I'm going to build bigger barns." He was not wise at all. I think of King Herod in the book of Acts, who was so arrogant about who he was, what he was doing. The people began to praise him, and God smote him dead. I think of Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he really was, you know, the man of the world back then. And God humbled Nebuchadnezzar and showed him there truly is only one sovereign king over all.
For sure. Boast not thyself of tomorrow.
Right.
Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, says James. And then the big question, for what is your life? What is your life? And then he describes it. It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Isn't that interesting that when life is defined in the Bible, it's defined in terms of time. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said, "Time is the stuff of which life is made."
Right.
It's the component of life. Right. So, it's a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So, what is life? Life is this wisp. It's this fragile, fleeting thing in our life that we just need to be aware. Wow, it's here, it's gone.
Yes. And it's often in this life, people often forget about the transitory nature of life and how it is just fleeting and how that eternity is long and the life on this earth is short.
So it's a perspective we lose. So it's a perspective about which we need to remind ourselves intentionally. So intentionally today, listeners, stop and realize this could be my last day. You know, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but this could be your last day on earth. What are you doing? And even if you were to live a normal life, I just want you to think about your last 4 years. How quickly have they gone by? If you were to live 70 years, that's about 25,000 days. That's not a whole lot of time. Yeah, John, you know, I hit 50 a few years ago. I mean, think about that. If I were to live to be 70 and my life were a baseball diamond, I'm sliding into third base.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's a sobering thought. And yesterday I was going to college. Yesterday I was starting out my new married life. But where has the time gone?
Right.
That's life. And listen, that's my life, that's your life, that's all of our lives. So what's the takeaway then, John? Why don't you read for us verse 15?
15 says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that."
So there's the contrast. So what are we saying? We're saying, hey, I got time. We're saying, hey, I can do what I want. We're saying, I can go to such and such a city. I can buy and sell, get gain. Wait a minute. Stop, stop, stop. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what your life is. And because you don't know that, here's what you're not saying, but here's what you ought to be saying. So unpack that for us.
Yeah, exactly. Their problem here was that their whole agenda in life just forgot about God. They didn't bring God into it at all. Everything they did for their own pleasure, their own desires, and they never thought twice about what God wanted. It reminds me of Psalm 14, where the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That fool lived his life as if there was no God who existed at all. And in my life, sometimes, if I'm not careful, I can become a practical atheist. Of course, I believe in God. I'm a child of God. But sometimes the way that I live, I don't make my first thought, what is God's will in this? And what would God have me do here? And that's what James is getting at, that all of life has to be wrapped around entirely what God's will is, as Christ so illustrated for us throughout his life over and over again on this earth. You know, I must be about my Father's business. This is the will of my Father, not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah, there's only two times in life when we ought to seek God's will. It's number one, when we do this, or number two, when we do that.
Exactly right.
Yes. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
So for that, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. It's only by God's grace, if God willing, that we even live,
right?
That we even have tomorrow or next week or next year to do the things we claim we're going to do in verse 13, and then to do this or that. So our time belongs to God. And then the implication is, and then what we do with that time, the priorities that fill time belong to God as well. So give it to him.
Exactly right. It reminds me of Proverbs where the Bible says, you know, that the plowing of the wicked is sin. And we give me say, well, how can a mundane thing such as plowing be sin? But it's because the wicked has no thought of God while he does it, which reminds me of my life. My motivation must always be 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever I do for God's glory. I do because I'm his child. I want to give him glory, not because I want to make money or I want to help myself out, but I want to do what God wants me to do.
And not only does that provide the value for the task, because it doesn't make a difference what the task is then. God, if you want me to do the task, it's important because I'm doing it for you. So not only does it give value to our life, regardless of what we're doing, if we're doing it for him, but it also gives satisfaction to the task. Because now when I do that mundane job or whatever the job is, chances are people don't even notice.
Exactly.
But we don't do it with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. So as we do what we do in the will of God for him, he always notices, he always rewards, he's not unrighteous to forget. It's the will of God. And even Jesus, the very famous prayer in Gethsemane, said, it's not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine be done. And if Jesus, the one that delighted to do thy will, O God, needed to come to places when he said, I am willingly and intentionally submitting my will. Yet again, how much more do you and I need to do that?
Oh, that is for sure. And it reminds me in John 4, the Samaritan woman, when the disciples had gone to get some food and came back and they asked Jesus if he wanted to eat something. Of course, while they were gone, Christ had that encounter with the Samaritan woman. And he told his disciples, you know, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And what a great thought. Christ was consumed with his Father's will.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. And again, delighting to do thy will, O God. Is that your delight today? I guess would be my question to you, listener. Do you say, God, today I want my life to count for eternity? Obviously, the will of God is best found in the Word of God. I think you started your day off right by listening to this podcast and by spending time considering what God's will is. But at the end of the day, we have one day to serve him. We have one day. And that day that we have to serve him is today. And I guess my question to you is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with your life, with your time today? I'm not saying quit your job and run to the mission field. What I am saying is, whatever you do today, do it as unto the Lord, with a sense that God is watching, with a sense that you're living your life for His honor and for His glory. God bless you, my friends. I really, really, really appreciate you joining us, and we will talk to you again next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.